beginning with the twin feasts of All Saints and All Souls and then moving through Veterans Week to Remembrance Day, the month of November begins by calling us to reflect upon the lives and legacy of those who've gone before us, the saints and heroes, if you will, who have not only forged our past and shaped the present, but whose faithfulness and sacrifice can also inspire us to seek to build an even better future for all God's children. And this is true for us, both as citizens of this nation and as citizens of God's kingdom. Our first reading this morning was from the book of Daniel, and although the heroic stories and prophetic visions contained in this book are all set in the period of Israel's exile in Babylon, the book of Daniel was actually written at a much later period in Israel's history, during the time of the Maccabean Wars, which occurred in the 2nd century BC. Israel was being ruled at that time by a Greek king named Antiochus IV, and during his reign, Antiochus tried to eradicate the Jewish religion completely, ordering the people to worship the Greek god Zeus. This, of course, was anathema to the Jewish people, many of whom refused to obey the king's directive. So Antiochus sent his armies against Israel to enforce his decree. The city of Jerusalem was destroyed, many of the faithful were put to death, and in the face of this appalling foreign aggression, a man by the name of Judas Maccabeus led a group of Jewish dissidents to a stunning military victory against the occupying forces. And following that victory, the Maccabees entered Jerusalem in triumph and rededicated the temple to the worship of God, an act that continues to be remembered and celebrated to this day by the Jewish festival of Hanukkah. Now, most scholars not only believe Daniel was written during the period of the Maccabean Wars, but that the purpose of the book was to strengthen the faith and resolve of the Hebrew people during that difficult period of their history. And we see this in the text we read this morning, which concluded with these words: "Four kings, great beasts, shall rise from the earth, but the holy ones of the Most High shall receive and possess the kingdom forever." This message of eternal promise in the face of persecution, which runs throughout the book of Daniel, is similar in purpose to the message we also heard from Jesus this morning. "Blessed are you," Jesus said, "when people hate you and exclude you, revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for your reward is great in heaven." Both of these scriptures call on people of faith in every generation to remain hope-filled and faithful, even unto death, being assured of their ultimate triumph in the kingdom of God. And our gospel passage this morning actually begins with Jesus recounting to his disciples some of the principles of this kingdom of God, in words we commonly refer to as the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor. Blessed are the hungry. Blessed are the sorrowful. And Jesus knew that by pursuing these principles of God's kingdom, he and his disciples would inevitably find themselves in conflict with the principles of the kingdoms of this world. And for this reason, Jesus sought to reassure his disciples with the words we heard this morning: "Blessed are you when people hate you on account of the Son of Man. Your reward is great in heaven." Jesus also knew that following his death, his disciples would be tested as never before. And despite their fear and grief, despite even their initial denials and betrayals, we know that these disciples withstood that test. They boldly and courageously bore witness to the life and love of God made known to them in Jesus, a life and a love that could not be defeated by persecution, nor held captive by death, nor overcome by life's darkest tragedies, a life and a love that had the power to transform their lives and their world. Many of those first disciples were put to death for proclaiming this message, but the legacy of their witness lives on, and each successive generation of saints must also make its choice to trust God, to stand against injustice, and to work for the furtherance of God's peace and freedom for all God's children. That's the choice that many of the saints we honor today resolutely made in the face of injustice and persecution in their own day, And it's also the choice that many of our veterans made during Canada's bitter years of war. More than 1.5 million Canadians have served overseas in war and in peace support operations, and more than 116,000 of them never came home. They went and they served where our country called them to go, and they gave their lives and their futures so that we and countless others, might live in freedom. And so we must remember them and honor their sacrifice. Because if we don't, the value of the peace and freedom they defended for us will lose its meaning and be taken by us simply and sadly for granted. And so as a way of informing our remembrance this morning, I want to recall the story of one battle in particular. The Battle of Passchendaele was one of the bloodiest battles of World War I, and it remains to this day a stark reminder of the senseless slaughter of that terrible war, a war that was to have been the war to end all wars. Passchendaele was a 4-month-long battle launched by the Allied forces in the summer of 1917 to secure the strategic high ground overlooking the Belgian city of Ypres. And for more than 3 months, hundreds of thousands of soldiers on both sides of the conflict attacked and counterattacked across the sodden, porridge-like mud of no man's land under a relentless rain of exploding shells and flying shrapnel and machine gun fire, with no gains of any consequence being made by either side, and with thousands of soldiers on both sides being obliterated. Our Canadian forces entered that awful fray the end of October 1917. And on the 6th of November, 99 years ago this morning, in fact, the Canadians launched a massive offensive that amazingly succeeded in capturing Passchendaele Ridge, where so many others had fought and failed. It was a stunning military victory. But just as World War I would sadly not be the war to end all wars, less than 6 months after our Canadians sacrificed so much to capture Passchendaele, that hard-won ground was recaptured by the Germans in their spring offensive of 1918. It's impossible, really, to fully contemplate the futility of it all. In total, on both sides, there were about 495,000 casualties killed and wounded at Passchendaele. That's roughly equivalent to the population of the city of Hamilton. And among those staggering losses were more than 15,600 Canadians killed and wounded, including Private Harold James Lemoyne of this parish, an artilleryman who was killed on the 2nd of November 1917 and whose remains are buried in a British cemetery near Ypres in Belgium. He was just 24 years old. And so we remember him in a particular way this morning, as we also remember the thousands who served before him and with him in World War I, and the thousands who served after them in World War II and in Korea, in the Cold War and in the Gulf War, in the Balkans and in Afghanistan. We pay tribute this week to the memory of all of our fallen, and to the memory of all those veterans who returned home, their lives and the lives of their families forever changed. Together, they have all given us a legacy of freedom, service, and peace, a legacy we must never forget nor ever take for granted. And the torch of that legacy has been passed on, if you will, to the thousands who have served and who continue to serve in our Canadian Armed Forces at home and abroad, today in places like Iraq and the Ukraine. And while I would love to live in a world where the need for our military no longer existed, just as I'd love to live in a city where the need for police services no longer existed, we are not there yet. And loving our enemies can never mean allowing them to abuse or injure or kill with impunity. In fact, loving someone must always mean being prepared to stop them with force if necessary from doing things that harm themselves or others. And as noble as it is, The principle of turning the other cheek can only ever work when an aggressor has the capacity for conscience. And it will not work when sadistic or hate-filled people are intent on injuring or killing others. I would also love to live in a world where the poor and the hungry and the sorrowful are lifted up and truly blessed. I would love to live in a world where the rich and the grasping are moved to mourn and weep for the injustices that they have caused or ignored. But we are not there yet either. And so God calls the saints in every generation to stand and be counted. And everyday saints, like everyday heroes, share much in common. In times of need and crisis, they are often the ones swimming against the currents or running toward the danger. They are ordinary people, inspired to extraordinary selflessness and courage, to be the ones, often against great odds, who bring aid to the needy, justice to the oppressed, and hope to the sorrowful. And on this Feast of All Saints, as we remember the lives and the legacy of those saints and heroes who've gone before us, we are also reminded that we too are called to be saints and heroes for those around us. In the choices we make, in the things we stand for, in the ways we respect and encourage and care for one another and for all God's children. May God bless all those we remember this day in their eternal rest. And may God bless us in faithful service this day and forevermore. Amen.